Well, here we are, poised at the beginning of 2016. Who's excited? I am. That's cool. It's a new day and a new year in our new life in Jesus Christ, and I'm feeling good. Although I did really get into that song, Awake My Soul, Resurrect These Bones, because I've been, many of you might have known that I've been tramping with John Fegan just after Christmas there. We spent 4 beautiful days in the Kaimanawas. And by Lake Taupo there, beautiful mountains, very steep, very vast, but very beautiful and very humbling as you go through that experience. If who's been in the mountains, who's done a bit of tramping, climbing? It's great, isn't it, when you're out there? You just get a whole new perspective on life. You're climbing up the mountains and working your way down the rivers and the valleys. It allows a lot of room for God to really speak, because it's quite a quiet time, because you can't really talk. Because you breathe, walk, breathe, walk. So you have a lot of time for reflection, an opportunity to sharpen the will. Because for me especially, I hadn't done a lot of training before I went. In fact, I hadn't done any since the last time I went. And just the effort of putting one foot in front of the other, it's amazing how much willpower that can take when you're getting tired. I won't lie, it was hard, but it was good. And to be honest, the first day was the hardest. We left at 2 a.m., 0200 hours on Boxing Day, and obviously hadn't had much chance to sleep throughout Christmas Day and Christmas night, all excited, of course, going for the trip. So it was a bit like a military exercise when you're waiting for the pickup and drop-off. And mentally and physically, after that first day, I was exhausted. I think all of us were, except for John Fegan, who's just mega crazy. Just, it's just, I don't know where you get that from. But it was really tiring. But one thing I got from being with a group of people, I found a lot of strength going through this journey with others who were on the same journey, heading toward the same goal. It was so encouraging to have people to help keep you motivated. And because they didn't stop for you, you had to keep going to catch up. And so you just had to get to where you had to go. And I believe that's one of the greatest strengths about church, that we are on a journey together, which is pretty beautiful. And in much the same way as a journey of 1,000 miles begins with just one step, each step matters in the scheme of things, doesn't it? No matter how small the step in the journey is, it all counts. You know, some steps mark milestones, but they too are just representative of all the other steps that happened beforehand to get to that place. It's a bit like with the building, isn't it? You know, it's been quite a journey. How many years, Peter? Yeah, and here we are at this place. And it's been a journey, but every single step matters on the journey. And it is the same for every single person in this church. Every individual story adds to the greatest story that's been written in God's book of life. And that's kind of how we see church, you know. God is building a home. He's using us all, irrespective of how we got here and what he is building. And you're a beautiful church. See a church full of passionate, wonderful people, excited about pursuing God's call on their life. Because we want to be a church that is loving, growing, reaching, authentic, creative, and empowering. And we believe in a creator God who creates with purpose, who creates things of beauty, and he loves what he has created. And where we are is really significant, because this is a beautiful little town, Waiuku, but it doesn't define who we are as a church. And what we do as a church is really important, but it doesn't define us either. It is always going to be Jesus Christ who defines us as a church, because it's his call that has brought us all together in this time and in this place for such a time as this. And we are all about doing our master's business, which has as much to do with the day-to-day things of life as it does with the big moments. Every little step matters. Now, if you have your Bible with you, I don't have a PowerPoint. So if you'd like to turn to John 15, I'm going to read from verse 15. And many of you hardened Christians will know this quite well. And this, Jesus is talking to his disciples. And he says, "I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. And this is my command, love each other." I think it's exciting to think that we enter this new year, first of all, secure in the knowledge that Jesus Christ has chosen us for a purpose, that there is meaning to this gathering called church. There's a purpose for us, that we might go and we might bear fruit. And it will be fruit that will last, fruit that will not spoil but will continue to endure generation after generation. Fruit that will continue to reproduce the love of God in others, not tainted with selfish motivation, but one that comes out of a genuine heart. Jesus often refers to the church and to God's kingdom as a plant, doesn't he? As a living thing. So we're not a rigid organization. We are a living organism. And in this instant, Jesus refers to the church as branches in the vine. Finding our beginning in him and our source in him, and everything we ever need to thrive and to bear fruit in this world for him comes from him. So obviously our fruitfulness is from our connection with Jesus Christ. And that's never going to change. Even with the new location that we're looking to move to and all the exciting possibilities that brings for us to have a greater presence in our community, it takes more than a cool building to be an awesome church, doesn't it? It can really make a difference to our community who look at the appearances, but for us, it's Jesus Christ in our midst, isn't it? The presence of God that will make us an awesome church. And, working together, it's going to be a great opportunity, obviously, to develop relationship. Lots of standing we'll need doing. Lots of hammering and all that painting and fun stuff that comes with the building project. And we'll learn to grow in patience with one another. We'll learn to forgive and to encourage as we go on this journey. But at the end of it, it's all about Jesus. In Genesis, we read that, the plants and the animals were ordered to reproduce after their own kind. Apple trees produce apples. And apples have apple seeds in them, and surprise, surprise, you plant an apple seed, it will produce an apple tree. Not an apple, sorry. It's got to start with a tree first, and onward it goes, okay? So that's kind of how the whole reproducing fruit thing works. And I know that this year, like every other year, God wants to capture our imagination with his possibilities of what fruitfulness can be. Because, fruit doesn't just happen overnight. It takes time, it takes persistence, it takes patience. But when it happens, it's incredible. I think God wants us to get a glimpse of our world that can be touched by his grace. Not to give up in the hard times, but to continue to press on so that we can experience firsthand the power of his love as it works in us and through us and around us. I've had the privilege of experiencing this love and the power of God's love and the power of God's church most recently when my dad died just before Christmas. And, this is a really awesome church. And, receiving all the love and support that you've all so generously poured out on us has been so humbling for us, for me, and such a strength for us as a family. Like many things in life, no one else could ever do the work of grief for you. It's something we all have to do on our own. But to have the support and the love everything that you demonstrated really makes a difference. And you realize it is the little things, you know, the being there, the hugs, the cards, the meals, the kind words, they all help. They make you realize that you're not on the grief journey alone, that there are others there walking it with you. It really does take love beyond the vagueness of good intention and make it real in this world. And that is when you really see the power of God at work in bringing people together. That is the vision Jesus has for all of us, isn't it? That to love one another as he has loved us. And when you've experienced that love, it's incredible. And you realize what it is to be together in this life. Because it's not as easy as it sounds to be together, does it? Because the truth is we can be surrounded by people. Like in the supermarket on Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve when everyone starts panic buying and you can't get a car park and you are surrounded by people, even in Waiuku. You can't, you know, it's crazy, isn't it? And yet, you're surrounded by people, but you're not together with any of them. You ever think about that? There's people everywhere, but you're not connected to them. And so this vision that God has of a people together, a Waiuku together in Christ, is going to take a bit of our imagination to grasp hold of, isn't it? Because it's big, bigger than we can picture sometimes. And this picture of true friendship that Jesus presents to us, you know, where nothing is too much to ask. Anything you need, whatever you ask for in my name, it's yours. That's a real good friendship, isn't it? When you go to a friend and said, "Oh, can I have your borrow your golf clubs, Ray?" And Ray's like, "Whatever you ask, it's yours. Mikasa, sukasa." That's how the kingdom of God works, isn't it? And you know, that's a God-inspired dream for Waiuku and for Auckland, for our nation, for the world. Part of His vision for our lives. You know, a God-inspired dream like that takes faith to walk in if we're going to see it happen. But a God-inspired dream gives hope to people, and it stirs in us expectation of God's ability, not our own. Because if we lose sight of God's vision to be able to do this, we risk becoming just machines stuck into the day-to-day grind of life. We miss out on the bigger picture. We get swallowed up in insignificance. We think that the little that we do doesn't matter. It doesn't count. But in God's hands, the little goes a long way. Because God can do incredible things with just a little, can't He? Even the simple act of just welcoming someone in Jesus' name takes on an internal significance and becomes part of the bigger picture. That is the power of God at work. You know, 2016 is going to have its challenges. We will have mountaintop experiences. I can see one now just walking into the building. It's going to be a great moment, isn't it, Grant? You realize all the hard work that's gone on. And yes, but it's going to have its valley experiences. I try not to imagine those. But it's important we don't lose sight of the supernatural power of Almighty God to do what He wants to do. The power that is in His church to overcome hardship, overcome evil. The power of His love to overcome difference. Because Paul, the Apostle Paul, says in Ephesians 3, verse 20 to 21, he says, "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." See, the power for real change in our life and this church and our community is from God, isn't it? It's not reliant on us, which is good because God has no limits. And for us to begin understanding Him from our limited perspective, we need to be able to dream. We need to be able to imagine what can happen in 2016 if God were truly in control of our life. If we were wholly surrendered to Him. Because nothing is impossible for God. And when the disciples You know, they gathered around Jesus and they asked that great question, who then can be saved? And when Jesus told them it was easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for the rich to enter the kingdom of God, Jesus told them in Mark 10, verse 27, he said, with man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. And that's the great thing about being church, about living in the kingdom of God. It's not leaning on our own understanding. It's not hanging on to the past as, you know, this is how it's always been done, this is how it always happened. It's not writing people off as not having a hope. It's learning to live a new way with faith in a God who is not of this world and is not bound by the limitations like we are. It is trusting him in the good and the bad, that somehow he can use all things, even those things we don't understand. Because there are a lot of those things in life, aren't there? We just can't work it out. We just have to just trust God with it. But it is having the courage to trust God anyway, to go where he asks us to go, and to be all that he wants us to be. To bear the kind of fruit that's going to reveal Christ as our source. You know, apples, they are meant to be eaten so that the seeds can come out. And if we're going to bear fruit, and we're going to be a fruitful church, we're going to find that we're going to give life to a lot of people. But for Christ to come out of us, there's something we need to do first. And that is in John 15, verse 13 to 14, where Jesus says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And you are my friends if you do what I command. Because that's it, isn't it? If we are a friend of Christ, we need to be willing to lay down our life for him, to do what he asks. And all he asks is that we love one another. Our salvation depends on Jesus. He has paid the price. He laid down his life for us so that we could be his friends. But it is up to us to walk the journey with him. You know, it's our life and it's our choice. But 2016 can really be a year for us to live a fully laid down life. Because that is what the greatest love looks like. It is the hallmark of his presence in the church, that we are a church that is motivated by compassion. We love actively through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not something we talk about or sing about. It is something we do. And I like how Bill Johnson, in his book, When Heaven Invades Earth, describes his experience. He says, Jesus often healed after being moved with compassion. And I frequently detect the leading of the Holy Spirit by recognizing his affection for someone else. Being drawn to a person through compassion usually means that there will be some realm of supernatural ministry with them, whether a word of encouragement or a miracle of healing or deliverance. Loving people is Christ's agenda, and surrender of my own agenda makes me available for his. The Holy Spirit is the invading agent of heaven. You know, sometimes I think we can forget that God can do things we can't. But we need to set aside our own agenda so that we can take up his. Allow him room in our life. Because no one in this world will love us the way God does, or see us the way God does. And it is God's love that is reflected in his church and his people. And that is what we give out of what he's already given us. So this morning we're going to take communion. But before I do, I just want to share one of the great insights I got from our tramping expedition. And it was that in order to go the distance, you need to travel light. To make it through 2016 and remain fruitful through it all, we need to travel light. And it's not till you often get to the end of the trip that you work out what wasn't essential. And you wonder, why did I carry that with me? And so I believe it's a really good idea to begin the year by unburdening our hearts. Get rid of all the regrets of the past, the mistakes we've made, the times we haven't lived up to God's grace in our own lives, and times we've withheld love from our neighbor, or held on to bitterness, those times we've refused to forgive because it just is so hard sometimes. These emblems that we're about to partake of represent the life of Christ laid down for us and for this broken world. So as we come to the communion table, I really do invite you to examine your heart. That we take time to examine ourselves in the light of the Holy Spirit. Because He knows what we need to carry with us. He knows what we need to lay down. So I really encourage you, just as you receive your emblems, if I can invite the ushers just to begin handing out, just to take your time just to think, what is really important? What are things in your life that you just, you know that you don't need to hold on to them? And then we can just silently confess them to God in our heart and know that He is just and He is good and He will forgive us. And hopefully by doing this, we will open up some room in our hearts for Him and His agenda in our life. And then we'll go forth from this place into 2016 with lives that are free from sin, free from worry, free from bitterness, and free from insecurity. And it will allow God's grace to be sufficient for us today, tomorrow, and throughout the year. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you laid down our life so that we could live in freedom. Free from the things that hold us back from living a whole life. We just want to acknowledge your Spirit here this morning. Lord, that you search our hearts. Lord, that you help us to unburden ourselves, Lord God. And Lord, in this moment, Lord, as your Spirit just hovers, Lord, that you plant in our hearts, Lord, the vision you have for us in 2016. Lord, a dream beyond impossible. A dream where you are truly God in our lives. Lord, that you'd capture us with the wonder of your love, Lord. Lord, we just want to declare that as you've laid down your life for us, we say to you, Lord, here we are. Use us. Send us. Wherever you will, Lord God. In any capacity that you'd want us to go, Lord, that we'd see your kingdom come and your will done in our lives as it is in heaven. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. So great that we get to do this together. Time for the corporate crunch. Ready? I would like to stand. I'd like to just bless you all before we go and we have a cup of tea and a coffee and continue sharing life together. Lord, we want to thank you for where we are. I want to thank you for every single person here. Lord, that every life matters. Every single person is significant in your scheme of things, God. We thank you that at this moment, Lord, 2016 lies ahead of us as a blank page for you to write on. So, Lord, we pray for a fruitful year. We pray for a blessed year. We pray for a year of your good favor, Lord, where your kingdom will extend in our lives and beyond through the power of your Holy Spirit and in the grace and love of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.